Welcome and God bless. On behalf of our pastors, Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in to our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit votacoma.org. So if everybody could please turn their Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Say amen when you get there. If you don't know where it's at, it's on page 2,343. Amen. Everybody there? All right, so here's what it says. It says chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. It says this, it says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teachings, but have itchy ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And there's a paraphrase translation. It's called the NLV, and it says it like this, but it just pretty much paraphrases the scripture. And the same passage, but it just paraphrases. And here's how it reads. It says, these words are from my heart to you. I say this before God and Jesus Christ. Someday he will judge those who are living and those who are dead. It will be when Christ comes to bring his holy nation. Preach the word of God. Preach it when it is easy and people want to listen, and when it is hard and people don't want to listen. Preach it at all times. Use the word of God to show people they are wrong. Use the word of God to help them do right. You must be willing to wait for those to understand what you teach them as you teach them. The time will come when people will not listen to the truth. They will look for teachers who will tell them only what they want to hear. They will not listen to the truth. Instead, they will listen to stories made up by men. You must watch for all these things. Do not be afraid to suffer for our Lord. Preach the good news from place to place. Do the work you are to do. So that's the NLV. And so tonight, I kind of I want to get you guys' input too. And so I'm going to ask you guys some questions along the way. So if you guys have any questions, raise your hand. I want to be like open discussion rather than me just talking to you. Amen? Amen? All right. Amen. Amen. And so those of you who said amen, what do you get from this scripture? What's the first thing that comes to mind when you read what we just read? Anybody? Huh? What was that? Okay, it's supposed to be evangelizing. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, he said do the work of an evangelist. What else? What else is the first thing that comes to mind when you hear what we just read? Yo, I'll read it one more time. It says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of the appearance of his kingdom, I will give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instructions, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them great number of teachers to say what their itchy ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But as for you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. So what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear that? Be prepared to preach the gospel. Be ready at all times to preach the gospel. What else? Yeah, definitely. That's good, because Paul says that towards the end. He says, don't be afraid to suffer for our Lord. And if there's one thing that church history shows you, is that Christians are known for suffering. Amen? Amen. If you're a Christian, you're going to be opposed in some way, shape, or form because the gospel message has a way of confronting the immorality that our world loves to promote. Amen. And so one thing that's a reality is that we are living in the times that the Apostle Paul talked about. Amen. What's wrong with it? Too loud? Amen. It says, what I get from this is that when I first read this, I was like, man, first thing that comes to my mind every time I read it is that, man, we're living in them days. Because one thing is true is that we're living in a day of options. Amen. This is like a buffet society. Amen. We're living in a day of options, whereas in Paul's day, there wasn't a wide diversity of Christian sects. There was just the one gospel. But today, over the years, Christianity has grown into, multiple denominations, multiple Christian sects, and therefore it leaves anybody with options. Amen. And in today's society, there's pretty much a teacher for whatever you want to hear. They have teachers for anything that you want to hear. If hell is too hard of a teaching for you, there's teachers who tell you that there is no such thing as a hell. That God is too loving not to send people to hell. And one thing that always, first thing that comes to my mind when people say God's too loving, well, you know what I'm saying? Well, God is very loving. That's why he sent his son to die on a cross for us, but God is also just. So God is completely just. And, you know what I'm saying, the way that God upholds his justice, the way that he doesn't, you know what I'm saying, because think about it. If you go to court, if you're in court for whatever, for breaking a law, and if a judge just says, well, you know, I forgive you, go and walk out. Is he just? Is he carrying out justice? No, he's not. In order to be just, he has to punish the person. He has to carry out justice for what the person did wrong. And in the same way, God is completely just. Justice stems from the character of God. Justice isn't something that God does. It stems from who he is. You know what I'm saying? And so God, he can't just push his justice to the side and simply forgive us. But one of the ways that God upholds his justice is by, you know what I'm saying, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He punishes Jesus Christ. So that's why the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And when Jesus is called the Lamb of God, it gives you the picture. If you ever read the Old Testament, they have a sacrificial system. And what takes place is the leaders of a community will put their hands on an animal, signifying that the sins of the people transferred to the animal. And then they would slaughter the animal. And that animal died for the sins of the people as a substitute because of the sins that they committed. In the same way, when Jesus Christ hung on a cross, all of the sins of the world was placed on him, and he died in our place. And so that's how God maintained his justice. You know what I'm saying? Well, at the same time, offering us forgiveness. And so when people say God is too loving to send people to hell, I can have a problem with that because it violates God's justice. Because the Bible says that every sin will be punished. And you know what I'm saying, if the teaching of sin it bothers you, there's teachers that'll tell you that sin is, you know what I'm saying, Jesus Christ died for everybody, you know what I'm saying? It's called universalism. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's saved, everybody's going to heaven. And one particular group of people that teach this is Mormonism. You know, they teach that everybody's going to heaven, and they have three levels of heaven, you know what I'm saying? Those who are the most faithful go to the highest level, those who tried but kind of struggled, they go to the middle part, and those who didn't try at all, they pretty much go to the lowest part of heaven. But everybody's going to heaven. And so it's called universalism. Everybody's going to heaven. And so, but I mean, that contradicts the word of God. You know what I'm saying? And so, like I said, man, today we're living in a day of options. There's an option for whatever you want to hear. You know what I'm saying? There's those who say there's no such thing as sin, but then you have the extreme Christian sects where everything's a sin. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything's a sin. You know, you better watch how you dress. You know, you can't dress like that. You're dressing worldly. Oh, you look worldly. You know what I'm saying? So we were at Hope 253. We were talking to these guys. And the guy looked at, this was like like an extreme Christian sect or whatever. But he looked at this girl. And this girl this girl had some shorts, like, just like right above her knees. And then he was willing to say she wasn't a Christian based on the way she was dressed. And that, like, really, like, that, like, that's legalism. know what I'm saying? Like, man, it really kind of bothered me, to be honest. Amen. And so, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, there's a teacher for whatever it is you want to hear today. And that goes exactly what Apostle Paul says. People are going to turn from the truth and find teachers that will tell them what their itchy ears want to hear. Amen. And you know what I'm saying? There's also, the secular movement or enlightenment or whatever that pretty much says that all religions are simply the same road or are different roads to the same God, which is pretty much ridiculous because if they're all roads to the same God, you know what I'm saying? They all contradict each other on who God is, what God's like, you know what I'm saying? How God forgives us, you know what I'm saying? So they can't all be true if they all contradict one another. Amen? And so in light of that, it's important that Christians today know what it is they believe and why. Amen. Amen, baby. That's my baby. And you know what I'm saying? In light of, you know what I'm saying, the fact that, you know what I'm saying, people, in light of the fact that there's so many different options and there's so many different philosophies and opinions going out there, you know what I'm saying? It's important for Christians to understand what they believe and why. Know what they believe and why. See, one thing that we need to understand is that we can't allow our beliefs about God to be shaped based on the church that we attend. We shouldn't adopt the theology or the beliefs of a church that we go to. We shouldn't allow, you know, our pastors to we shouldn't adopt their belief. You know what I'm saying? I'm not disrespecting them. They know I love them. But you know what I'm saying? But the fact is, our view of God should be shaped by the Word of God. Amen. Our beliefs of God should be shaped by the Word of God. Amen. And so in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 10 through 12, there's a group of individuals known as the Bereans. And I love the Bereans. And here's what it says about the Bereans. It says, as soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas off to Berea. On arrival, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. The people here were more open-minded than those of Thessalonica, since they welcomed the message with eagerness and examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Consequently, many of them believed. So one thing I love about the Bereans is that they didn't just take the Apostle Paul's word for it, but rather they took what he said and then they laid it against the scriptures to see if it was true. And that's the same thing that we need to do. Amen. We can't just take the preacher's word for it just because he's popular or he has a large following or he's eloquent or, you know, he's able to quote memorize scripture off the top of his head. Amen. Because like some of the most eloquent people convince a lot of people to drink the Kool-Aid. Amen. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And that's why it's important to understand what it is we actually believe. And when Pastor Christian was here, I had the opportunity to take him out to lunch. And as we were talking, one thing that he told me that stuck with me was that he's like, you know, man, when I speak, a lot of times, man, I speak from experience. And so that's kind of something I want to do this evening, right? I just want to speak from my own personal experience. You know, I think that's something that we all need to do, amen? I mean, when you speak from your experience, you're speaking from, people feel it more because, you know what I'm saying, rather than speaking about something you don't know nothing about, it's kind of like, man, you don't know nothing about that. Like, if I speak about, you know what I'm saying, prison, you know what I'm saying? I never did know a hard time in prison, but if I start telling you about prison, I mean, it's not going to mean nothing. Amen? Because I really don't know the realities of being in prison. I've been a juvenile. Amen? I know what that's like. I'll tell you all about that. But so just a little bit something about me that a lot of people probably don't know. Some of you know it because I shared it with you, and some people haven't had the opportunity to talk as much with you. And so just a little bit something about me. Like Pastor said, you know what I'm saying, there was a time in my walk where I fell away from God. And one of the reasons why I fell away from God was I began to doubt my faith. pretty much. I began to doubt my faith, you know what I'm saying? That along with, moral issues. You know what I'm saying? Because I began to doubt my faith because, like, one thing Pastor said, like, man, when I got saved, all I wanted to do was tell people about Jesus Christ. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I remember I just wanted to tell somebody because I was excited. I was excited, man. I was, I began to read the Bible more and more. And as the more I read, the more I wanted to tell people. Like, hey, man, look what this said. Look what Jesus said there. You know what I'm saying? Jesus, did you know this? You know what I'm saying? Jesus. You know, I would just tell everybody about Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, people begin to ask me or pose tough questions to me that I wasn't able to answer. They begin to say things to me that pretty much shook the foundation of my belief, because if what they're saying is true, and then I really need to reevaluate what I believe, because as a young man, you know, I'm not an idiot. I don't want to give my life to something that's false. Amen. It's all about truth. You know what I'm saying? One thing that I believe is that if Islam is true, then that's what I want. Because if it's, you know what I'm saying, regardless of how violent it is, regardless of what's taking place in the Muslim world, if it's true, then I want it. If atheism is true, then I want it. If there's no such thing as a God, Apostle Paul said, if Christ is not risen from the dead, we should be pitied more than all people. Amen? It's all about what's true. What's truth? And I began to doubt my faith. I began to doubt one thing that people begin to tell me. Well, first of all, where I come from, I come from Montana. I'm half Native American and half black. A lot of people think I'm Cambodian. And one person asked me one time, he's like, are you Somalian? I was like, what? I was like, yeah, I'm Somalian, brother. But anyways, where I'm from in Montana, we don't have a big diversity of religions. You know what I'm saying? You don't have Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons coming knocking on your door. All you have is a Catholic church up the street, and then, you know what I'm saying, you have all of these sweat lodges because they're Native American. Amen? And so that's what I grew up around. And so when I moved to Seattle and I gave my life to Christ, one thing I was confronted with, I didn't know that, you know what I'm saying, that there were so many different teachings about Jesus. I didn't know that, you know what I'm saying, I didn't even know that Mormonism taught something different. I didn't know that Jehovah's Witnesses taught something different. I was oblivious to the fact that Muslims believed in Jesus Christ, you know what I'm saying, in the Old Testament. Like, I didn't know none of that. So when people begin to tell me that stuff, it kind of like, man, it shook the foundation of what I believed. And as a result of that, when I stepped away from the church, I made it a priority to, which Jesus is the true Jesus? That's what I was after. Which Jesus is the true Jesus? The Jesus of history? The Jesus that's able to save us? Amen. And as a result of that, you know, I studied with the Jehovah's Witnesses. I studied with the Mormons. I talked with several Muslims. And you know what I'm saying? One thing that helped me in my search is the fact that I had read the Bible before I did all of that stuff. And so that's why I say it's important to know what you believe. In order to know what you believe, you have to read the Bible. And a lot of people always ask you, well, where's the best place to start? Or, you know what I'm saying, or where should I start? You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes I'll tell them, you know, well, the Gospel of John or one of the Gospels is a good place to start. But the reality is, man, eventually you're going to have to read the whole Bible. Eventually you're going to have to read the whole Bible. You know, me and one of the brothers, we're on a reading plan. And so, you know what I'm saying, it's read the Bible in a year. And so we're on that reading plan right now. So I have already read, you know what I'm saying, the entire Bible. I don't say that to boast, but I'm reading it again because, you know what I'm saying, it's not a book that you just read once and then set it aside. Amen. You don't just read it once and all of a sudden you know everything about it, because the Word of God is alive and active, you know what I'm saying? So it speaks to you different in different areas and circumstances of your life, because life is continually changing. It's going to speak different to you if you're single and then you get married, you know what I'm saying? It's going to speak different to you if you don't have no kids and all of a sudden you have kids. It's going to speak different to you as you go through different areas in your life. And so the Word of God is active. And so the more, you know what I'm saying, and plus it's a relationship with God. Prayer is us speaking to God, but reading the Word of God is allowing God to speak to us. And the Word of God is meant to, you know what I'm saying, to judge our lives and, you know what I'm saying, convict us of sin, amen, through, you know what I'm saying, as we read it, the Holy Spirit's going to convict us of sin, amen, and then we have to make the proper adjustments, and, you know what I'm saying, amen. And anyways, getting off track, in the midst of all of that, man, I begin to, study with all these different religious people that talked about Jesus Christ, because I want to know which Jesus was the true Jesus. And, one of the, like I said, I had read the Bible first, and that's the most important thing, you know what I'm saying? It's important to read the Bible first before you read any book that talks about the Bible, because a lot of times what people do is they read books that talk about the Bible, but they haven't even read the Bible, and then they have all of these ooh and ah moments, but they don't even know if that person's actually speaking truth because they don't even know what the Bible actually says. Amen? You know what I'm saying? But it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like one of the rappers that I listen to, he says that if you study the lie, they can make more lies up, but if you study the truth, you'll know when the lie comes. And so it's important that we read the Word of God before we read anything else that talks about the Word of God or attempts to interpret the Word of God. Amen? And so as I was studying with Mormons and Muslims and Jehovah's Witnesses, it was easy for me to see where they misinterpreted Scripture. For example, like one of the Scriptures that Jehovah's Witnesses use to say that Jesus Christ is Michael the Archangel is found in one little phrase where the Apostle Paul says, and he will come with the voice of an archangel. And based on that, they say that Jesus Christ is an archangel. Like, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of a big leap. Amen. But it's easy to, you know what I'm saying, see them things like that. That's not how you interpret the Word. That's false. So you have to know what you believe, but more importantly, you have to know why you believe it. The why is more important than the what. Amen. Why is the why more important than the what? Anybody? Why is the why question? Why is why you believe more important than what you believe? Exactly. The why is more important than the what. And in 1 Peter 3:15, Peter says this. He says, instead, exalt the Messiah as Lord in your lives. Always be prepared to give a defense to anyone who asks you to explain the hope that you have, yet do it with gentleness and respect. I'm going to read it one more time. 1 Peter 3:15. It says, Exalt Messiah as Lord in your lives. Always be prepared to give a defense to anyone who asks you to explain the hope that you have, yet do it with gentleness and respect. And so right here is Peter's pretty much telling us that we have to be ready to defend what we believe. Amen. Not only do we got to know what we believe, we have to know why we believe it, and we have to be willing to defend it. And if we're going to defend it, we better know what it is we're defending. Amen. And so right here, this is like one of my favorite scriptures, you know what I'm saying? And so like one thing that I do is that to this day, man, I love to just talk with people, you know what I'm saying, from different faiths, different worldviews. And so one of the reasons why I like to talk with them, and I take all their material, if they have like propaganda, all that stuff, I take it and I read it, you know what I'm saying, for the fact that I read it because I want to know, you know what I'm saying, really what it is they believe, and I want to understand why they believe it. That way I could better evangelize to that type of person. Amen. And so like the Apostle Paul said, I've become all things to all people that I might win some to Christ. And so I think it's important that we learn to dialogue and, you know what I'm saying, understand and win people to Christ, you know what I'm saying, defend the gospel, you know what I'm saying. That's why it's important that when Mormons come over to my house, you know what I'm saying, my wife knows, we bring them in every single time. Sometimes my wife doesn't like it, but I'm like, man, come in. Have a seat. And then, you know what I'm saying, get them some, Mormons don't drink coffee or whatever, so I have some juice on deck for them. And you know what I'm saying, Jehovah's Witnesses love coffee, so, and I love coffee too, so, you know, they come in, I make them coffee, and just be nice to them, because a lot of times, Christians slam the door in their face. Christians are rude to them, and so when they come to my door, I want them to have a different experience. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, I've become all things to all people that I might win some to Christ. And when I talk to Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, I don't think that I could convert them. I don't talk to them because I believe that I can convert them. I talk to them and I dialogue with them and I share my testimony and what I believe to be the truth with them, because the Bible says that one plants a seed, one waters a seed, but God is the one that brings the increase. And so maybe God already planted a seed in that person's life and I'm going to be the one to water, or maybe I'm the one planting a seed in this person's life and somebody's going to come along and they're going to water it, and then God's going to eventually give them that aha moment where they're going to be like, man, this stuff is false. I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ. Amen. So I was looking at some statistics in America. They say that 70% of all Christian kids that go to college will convert to atheism because they're unable to defend their faith in Christianity. And so I don't know if you've noticed, but atheism is on the rise in in America, and religion is on a rapid decline. And Islam is, you know what I'm saying, the second fastest growing religion in the world. Although, if, you know what I'm saying, the foot were to be taken, you know what I'm saying, off the necks of a lot of people in a lot of societies, I believe that they would run to Christianity. But a lot of times, you know, they can't come to Christianity because, you know what I'm saying, their life will be at risk. But, you know what I'm saying, anyways, atheism is on a rise in Christianity. And it amazes me that students lose their faith when they go to colleges. And it puzzles me because it's Christians are the one who are responsible for, you know what I'm saying, for the educational systems that grew into institution of higher learning, you know what I'm saying, which are known as universities. Christians are responsible for that. But now it's that very same place where we're losing the Christians. And when it comes to science, who's ever heard that science contradicts religion? Our science and faith are contradict one another. Who's heard that before? Who believes that? It's not true. Science, when you look at modern science today, it was pioneered by people who believed in God. It was their belief in God that drove them to want to discover how God's universe works. And then it grew into this thing that pretty much everybody believes is in opposition to faith and religion. And what scientists usually say is that, you know, well, faith is the belief in something without no evidence. When that really isn't faith at all, that's not the faith I have. The faith I have is based on evidence. They're based on the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Amen. Because the Apostle Paul, one thing I love about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said, if Christ is not risen, my faith is in vain. And what Paul did right there, he gave all the critics of Christianity a way to falsify Christianity. If you could show good historic evidence Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, Christianity is out the window. But all of the evidence points to, you know what I'm saying, Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. Because there's no plausible explanation for the rise of Christianity if Christ did not rise from the dead. That's what all of Christianity hinges on. And so I'm almost done. I'm going to wrap it up right now. And so in the midst of all my searching and stuff, I ran into something that I wish I would have ran into in the beginning of my walk with Christ. And I'm going to tell you this in hopes that you would go home and you would look it up for yourself. And it's called apologetics. Who knows what apologetics is? What is apologetics, my brother? Yeah, so it's defending a Christian faith. And what apologetics does is it's a field that defends the Christian faith, but it also shows that belief in God, belief in belief in the Christian God is reasonable. If you want to believe in God, you have to abandon reason. It's well within reason to believe in God. And you know what I'm saying, there's multiple apologetic arguments apologetics that shows that belief in God is very reasonable. And so here's two things in my experience, you know, because like I told you, man, I like to share my faith with everybody. And so here's two main arguments that always get brought up all the time. Every time I talk to somebody, the two main ones that I always end up talking about when I'm talking about somebody about my faith. The first one is the Trinity. And the second one is, how do you know the Bible is reliable? That's my personal experience. You guys might have other experience. What are some arguments that people have told you before? Those are my two. Like, people always tell me, well, you know, the Trinity is pagan. You know what I'm saying? It's illogical. Or people say, you know, the Bible is not reliable. You don't know who wrote the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Just because Matthew's name is on Matthew doesn't mean he wrote Matthew. And so, like, what are some things that have you heard similar to that, some objections to Christianity? Anybody? Yeah, that's a big one nowadays. I don't want to serve a God who would send people to hell. So Jehovah's Witnesses, one thing that they say is that, well, you know, and if you, a lot of modern Bibles, they don't use the name Jehovah. And so the name Jehovah is big to Jehovah's Witnesses. And so in their Bible, every reference to God, they, so in the New Testament, even if it's referring to God, but it doesn't use the word, it doesn't use the Greek or the Hebrew Jehovah, they'll throw it in there anyway, just because, you know what I'm saying, they want to call him Jehovah. And so one of the big things, that's why I like the Holman Christian Standard Bibles, because it throws the name Jehovah in Old Testament where it actually is. And so the name Jehovah, Jehovah's Witnesses, they say that, Christians, they don't use the name Jehovah. Bible, a lot of modern Bibles take the name Jehovah out and all of that stuff. But, you know, so we should call him Jehovah, because that really is his name or whatever. But one thing that Jehovah's Witnesses fail to tell you is that Jehovah is actually a Greek or a Latin translation of the more literal name of God, which is Yahweh. So Yahweh is the more literal name of Jehovah, if you want to get technical. I don't have no problem with Jehovah. I call God Jehovah. To me, it's a minor issue. You know what I'm saying? But what a lot of Christian cults like to do is they like to major in the minor. Amen. They like to major in the minor. They get caught up on all these little things and make them big deals. And you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you know, Christian's pagan. You know what I'm saying? Jesus Christ wasn't born on December 25th. I know that. But that doesn't change the fact of me. You know what I'm saying? I'm still going to celebrate Christmas, because that's the day I celebrate when my Savior was born. I don't believe that he was born on December 25th. You know what I'm saying? So they like the major and the minors. They can make big deals of minor issues. And so if you ever talk to Jehovah's Witnesses, man, throw Jehovah in there as much as you can. You know, man, I love Jehovah. Jehovah this. Oh, man, Jehovah's my creator. You know, Jehovah. And so as Christians, so it's important for us to know what we believe and why we believe, because Christians today, man, we're fighting on multiple fronts. We're fighting on a lot of different fronts. Not only are we fighting the atheistic worldview, you know what I'm saying? In the East, the question is, you know, which God do you believe in? But in the West, the question is, does God even exist? You know what I'm saying? And so we're fighting this on this atheistic front, but then we're fighting, you know what I'm saying, different religions, like Islam is one of the main contenders of Christianity. And then you have Christians fighting amongst Christians. And then you have, you know what I'm saying, the fight that we have with Christian cults, which take the word of God and they twist it and they distort it. And then, you know what I'm saying, all of that stuff. And so Christians are fighting on multiple fronts. So it's important for Christians today to know what they believe and why they believe it and learn how to articulate it. Amen. Man, the other day somebody told me, like, man, are you a pastor? Are you going to be a pastor? And I was like, well, no, I don't know, brother. And he was like, well, man, you should, man, because the way you talk is, you know what I'm saying, like, you're a good communicator. And I was surprised because man, I used to smoke a lot of weed, and I never used to talk to nobody. Amen. And so, like, I wasn't the most articulate, but over the years, God has a way of bringing things out of you that you didn't know was in there. Amen. And so one thing that we need to, because one thing that as Christians, we have to share our faith. Amen. At some point in time, man, you have to share your faith. If you've been a born again Christian, God's converted your heart, he's changed your life, then one of the evidences, you know, you're going to want to tell somebody about the good news. Amen. Gospel, it means good news. And if it's good news, I mean, you're going to want to tell somebody good news. Amen. And so we're going to have to tell people about our faith. And so learning to share your faith is a big deal. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times people don't know how to share their faith. You know what I'm saying? Well, when I first got saved, trust me, I didn't know all of this apologetics. I didn't know how to answer all of this stuff. That's why my faith got shook at its core, because I didn't know how to answer some questions. But I would just tell people, man, I used to be an alcoholic. I was a weed head. I used to do a bunch of ecstasy. I was in and out of jail, all of this stuff. But one day Jesus Christ changed my life. That's all I said. You know what I'm saying? I didn't say, oh, well, the Bible's reliable because of this. You know what I'm saying? When you look at all the manuscripts, you know what I'm saying? If somebody says the Bible's not reliable, they're condemning also all of the other documents of antiquity. I didn't use all of them big words. Amen. I just said, man, Jesus Christ changed my life. That was it. And that's all you have to do, man. That's a start. Learn how to share your faith. Learn how to tell people, you know what I'm saying, what it is you believe. Amen. Amen. And so I'm closing with this. And this is the most important of everything. This is the most important. In 1 Peter 3:15, a verse we just read, here's what Peter said. He said, instead, exalt the Messiah as Lord in your lives. Always be prepared to give a defense to anyone who asks you for the hope that you have. And here's the most important part. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. When we share the gospel, we got to make sure that we're respectful when we share it. Amen. I believe that one of the reasons why Christians are considered some of the most intolerant people in society is because some Christians go out holding signs talking about repent or go to hell. Amen. I believe in hell and I believe that you should repent. I just don't believe in that method. Amen. I believe the method is kind of unproductive. Amen. And so one of the most important things when it comes to sharing our faith, we need to be respectful. We need to be gentle, and you know what I'm saying, be patient. You know what I'm saying, and like what the thing said. He said, be patient when people, when you teach them. You know what I'm saying, be patient with them so that you know what I'm saying when they so they can understand what it is you're teaching them. And one of the most important things is that's why I'm nice to Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, because I know that other people pretty much bash them. You know what I'm saying? People pretty much bash him. And a Mormon actually came to our Easter thing, and I was talking with him, and I was like, "Well, what's one of the?" I asked him. I was like, "What is one of the most biggest struggles that you had on your 2-year mission?" And one of the things that he said, "Well, you know, I mean, just religion. You know what I'm saying? It's just talking about religion with other religious people. That was his main difficulty for him, was talking about religion with other religious people." And I don't want Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses to have that same experience with me, amen. And so sometimes the greatest statement is how we endure ridicule and slander. Jesus, remember Jesus, when he was slandered, he didn't retaliate. Sometimes it's our suffering that becomes our greatest witness. And so I say that, I this is something that I wrote down earlier, but I say that because, you know what I'm saying, a lot of times when people begin to learn stuff, you know what I'm saying, knowledge, when they get this knowledge, you know, Apostle Paul says knowledge puffs up. Amen, you know what I'm saying? And I've been there before, you know what I'm saying? I learned something, I just wanted to go tell this guy. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, man, I got this for him. I'm going to save this for him. And so, but knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Amen. And a lot of times, you know what I'm saying, it's how you respond that says the most about you. Amen. So a lot of people who scream for tolerance are usually the most intolerant. And the way you know if somebody's intolerant is watch how they react when you disagree with them. When you disagree with somebody and they start saying, oh, you're a bigot, you're this, you're that, it just shows that person's intolerant. But if you can respectfully disagree with somebody, be like, hey, well, you know, yeah, I disagree with you on that issue, but you want to get some coffee or something, that person's pretty much tolerant. Amen. But if they can't stand you, they can't even be around you after you guys disagree, then that's intolerant. Amen. Our universities are founded on tolerance. That's where you get the name university stems from unity and diversity. Amen. So it's important to be gentle when we share their gospel because we could win the battle but lose the war for somebody's soul. Amen. So if you guys can stand with me, we're just going to pray. And I know it was a little bit different, man. I really didn't preach. I just wanted to inspire you guys. Hopefully you guys go home and look up apologetics, man. Look up, you know what I'm saying, why you should believe, why it's important to know what you believe, man, as Christians. If you're a Christian, know why you're a Christian. Amen. So if you guys bow your heads, Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity, Lord God. I just pray that...